like that, I want to back it up with Scripture. I don't want to be up here just saying, well, I think, and this is what you should do, and da-da-da-da-da, but I'll just read the verse, and obviously, usually, the Holy Spirit does a lot of the preaching. There's some times that I've been in a sermon or in a church service before, and the Holy Spirit will speak to me something that's not even in the sermon. He's able to do that, and so forth, and I remember surrendering to preach. It was a sermon preaching against, you know, rock and roll music and backward masking and, you know, how it's, you know, Satan and all that kind of stuff and how he uses that kind of stuff. And I had no clue about that stuff, but the Lord called me to preach right there in the middle of all that. So God can do whatever he wants to. But I like to back up what I'm saying with Scripture and let you know that it's not just my opinion. It's what God says. And so tonight we're going to preach a sermon or do a Bible study on victorious living. Victorious living. And again, out in our world today, they have lots of gidgets and say it for me. Gadgets, there we go, and gizmos, is that right? All right, and there's little helps, and there's all kinds of, you know, I heard this morning on the radio, I was listening to sports radio, and it was some type of advertisement of an app that you could get that helps you keep up with your, you know, just like all these things, you know, steps and calories, and, you know, it'll help you this, that, and the other, and that's awesome, that's great, and I'm just not good at all that kind of stuff, and so I just have to behave myself and not eat too much. But anyway, and get as much exercise as I can. But there's helps out there for everything. And I'm not against any of that stuff. And we're going to see some things tonight. I'm going to make some phrases, just like I think we talked about not too long ago. I did several sermons in a row about what the Bible says about. And, you know, we talked about like mental health, and we talked about, you know, different things like that that just gets, I mean, on the internet and on the TV and this, that, and the other. And I'll say what I said then. It's for reals, okay? I'm not preaching saying that, you know, you're a loony bin if you think. No. It's for real. There's chemical imbalances out there, and you need medication to help it. Take it. Do what the doctor says. I'm not going to say, you know, don't this and don't that. Don't go to a counselor. Don't go to this and don't do that. You know, just use God. No. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying don't leave him out. All right, if you're going to go to the doctor, do what the doctor says, but then do like we did tonight. Pray and say, God, give the doctor's wisdom. You take the medication and help it work. Include him. And matter of fact, I would probably put him first and foremost and then the doctor, okay? Don't reverse it. But that's what we're looking tonight. A lot of people are like, I want to be happy. I want to live a life of victory. I want to be excited. So they hear victorious living. Sign me up. Where's the app? What do I need to do? Da 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 da. And that's awesome. But we're going to look at it in a biblical aspect tonight. What God says about it. And again, I'm not preaching against any of that other stuff. I hope you understand. But I'm going to show you what the Bible says to have a victorious Christian life. And it goes against the grain of this world. It goes against the grain of a lot of people. And even in some Christians, it'll go against the grain because we're like, I don't get that. I don't see how if I do that, I'll be happy. I'll be victorious in my Christian life. And of course, John 10:10, the second part of it, John 10:10, we would say John 10:10b, it says right there, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. All right. And so, again, that is a phrase from the Bible. So God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be abundantly happy. He wants you to be beside yourself that you're so happy. Now, obviously, we're all going to face trials. We're all going to face sad times in our life and things like that. But God did not say, okay, you know, again, we might could start a doctrine here. God created Job and put him through the ringer. All right? You know, and that's why Job was created, so God could just be mean. And, you know, just belittle and take away and hurt. No, he came that Job might have life and he might have it more abundantly. He had to go through a lot of stuff, but he came out on the other side. The Bible said, having not sinned, and in all this, Job was righteous and perfect. And so he did come out on the other side and he was happy. Romans 8:28 is in the Bible. All things work for good. Didn't say all things were good, but they work for good if you'll let God. And so same thing here. We see that God came. He didn't come that he was going to put Paul in prison, and he was going to put Joseph in the pit and in the prison and all these other things that took place. He didn't create them for the bad. But just like Paul realized, I did have to go through some bad things. It was good that I had been afflicted, is what Paul said. Excuse me? Again, that would go against Freud, and that would go against this social media life. It was good for me to be afflicted. No, stay away from that. You want to have victorious Christian life, so stay away. No, Paul said it was good that I was afflicted. Why? That I may know Him. So I came out the other side and so forth. And so we see here God came to give us a victorious Christian life. He wants us to have a happy life and have an abundant life. And so now I'll read you a couple other verses. If you want to flip, you can flip. If you want to just write down the reference, you can. But here's three verses that's the key to this victorious Christian life. Now, you're not going to get this in any other book beside the Bible, unless it's a Bible book that's been written straight from the Bible to help. You're not going to get it at a hospital. You're not going to get it at a psychiatrist. You're not going to get it at any of these help things. But the Bible says right here. First one is found in Galatians 2, verse 20. And it says here, and this again, this doesn't sound happy. This doesn't sound victorious. This sounds shocking. And this sounds hurtful. And this sounds like there's no way I could have a victorious Christian life by doing that. But it says right here in Galatians 2, verses 20, and Paul was telling the church of Galatia, I am crucified with Christ. Paul, how in the world can you be victorious and happy and be crucified? The Bible says that for the joy that was set before Jesus, I'm paraphrasing here, He laid down His life on the cross. So I'm sure the nails were painful, and the crown of thorns was painful, and the yanking of the beard and the spitting in his face and the cat of nine tails, I'm sure all that was painful. But the Bible says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured that. So we see that sometimes the world's like, no, you're not going to be happy if you're being beaten. You're not going to be happy if you're being crucified and nailed to a cross. But the Bible says Jesus' mindset and His outlook was victorious. I'm winning. I'm getting eternal life for them. and I love them enough that I'm willing to do it. And this brings me happiness. This brings me victory. And so Paul's like, just like Jesus, I am crucified with Christ. And here it is. Nevertheless, I live. Now, obviously, Jesus knew when He died, He told everybody, I'm going to be buried. And 3 days later, I'm coming out. All right, I'm going to go conquer death, hell, and the grave. They're not going to conquer me, and so forth. So same thing here. Paul's like, I'm crucified with Christ. I get it. I put on His armor, and I put on His lifestyle, and I put on His mindset, and I do all this. But nevertheless, I live. And here he goes. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So the only way that I'm going to have victorious life is I'm going to have to crucify my old nature, crucify my sin, crucify my flesh, and allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of me. And now Jesus is in there, and He can live through me. This is how to have victorious Christian life. Crucify, die to self is what the Bible says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And it goes on to say, and the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So this world says, hey, you got to have this size bank account if you want to be a victorious Christian life and be happy. That's not in that verse. You got to have this many friends and likes and thumbs ups and all this stuff. You got to have this, or you're not living the victorious Christian life. You're not going to be happy. And so a lot of people, that's what they're looking for: money. They're looking for friends. They're looking for, achievements. And how many movie stars have we heard that have had the money, had the houses, had the red carpets, and all the people liking them commit suicide? Why? Because they got it all. They got the prestige in their name and their money and their houses and, you know, all this stuff, all this recognition, and they commit suicide. Why? Because it's a lie. That's not victorious Christian life. That's not what makes us happy. So Paul's like, look, you know, I just crucified my flesh, my old nature. I'll let Jesus Christ live inside of me. So that's one key verse. Another key verse of victorious Christian life is found in Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. So Paul said, I'm crucified. That doesn't sound victorious. That doesn't sound happy. That doesn't sound great. But Paul's like, I crucified myself. Then he said in Romans 6:4, therefore, we are buried with Him. So not only am I crucified with Christ, I'm buried with Him. It says here, by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, just like, and because of, we could just keep on going. All right, just like Jesus died on the cross, was buried, 3 days later God rose Him up. When I get in that baptismal tub, I'm buried with Him, but I'm raised up. And it goes on to say, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. All right, so I die to self. I crucified my old flesh. In other words, what's going to bring me true happiness is not wanting what I want. That's what the world says. If I get what I want, then I'll be happy. I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and they fight their whole life to get it, and they got it, and they're like, it's not really what I thought it was going to be. All right? But if I was like, okay, I'm just going to die to myself, die to my wants, die to my opinion, die to my feelings, and I'm just going to let Jesus live in me, and I'm going to try my best to please Him, that's where you're going to find true happiness. God used me to witness. God used me to encourage. God used me to help that person in need. What about the Good Samaritan? He's just going through life. Priest walked on the other side. Levite walked on the other side. The Good Samaritan said, yeah, I know we're not the same, kin and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you're from that part of the world, not from this part of the world. But you're hurting. And I'm going to help you. And you think he walked away whistling? Yes. And when I come back, I'll pay you what he's used while I'm gone. And he was happy about it. So we see here that if we die to what we want and die to what this world says is going to bring you happiness and be buried and raised up, even so, we're going to be just like Christ. We're going to find that victorious life. So I'm crucified with him. I'm buried with him. 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Of course, Paul learned all these lessons. And so he said here to the church at Corinth, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the, and there it is, victory. Okay, he's the one that's going to give you the victory. He's going to want, you're going to be happy if you're living in that victory. And this is here through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll read a statement and we'll get into the rest of the outline. It says here, God presented the truth of victory. Okay, the only way you're going to have victory is if you crucify yourself, you be buried with me, and you raise up to walk in the newness of life, and you let me give it to you. That's the only way you're going to have it. Anything else, the Bible calls it sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. It's going to be empty. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. And that's what Solomon said. You know, everything I got money, I got women, I got prestige, I got power. Empty. Empty. Just like a soap bubble. Nothing. All right? But if we say, okay, I'm going to crucify my thoughts and crucify my wants and crucify what I always thought would bring me happiness and just say, okay, God, I'm just going to serve you. I'm going to bury that old nature. I'm going to raise up to walk like you. And thanks be to God, you gave me the victory. So God presents the truth of the victory and the triumph. And we can have it by understanding that the cross was not just a place where Christ died, but it was our old self that was crucified with him. And that tomb was where we buried our old self. And we're raised up. And when Jesus came out of that grave victorious, that's the only way we're going to have victorious life, as we crucify with Christ and die to himself. Now, I'll get into a little bit of philosophy, and then we'll jump back to some verses. So we see here we're going to all battle physical needs. We're all going to battle emotional needs. We're all going to battle spiritual needs. And so the key to that spiritual need is you got to want it. And the Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they, all right, or happy are they, or victorious are they, that person that's going to reach that victorious Christian life. Blessed are they which do, and here it is, hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So again, you say, okay, yeah, I get it. You got to be crucified with Christ. I get it. You got to be buried with Jesus. I get it. He's the one that's going to give us a victory. I get that. All right. A lot of things, you know, we get here, but we don't ever get it here. All right, because we got to want it. It doesn't just happen. It's like a kid, you know, in kindergarten. I want to graduate one day. Well, there's going to be a whole lot of work to do till you get there. It doesn't just happen. Osmosis is not for real. Now, I know you probably can go online and buy a high school diploma. You can go online and buy a college degree, stick it up on your wall. But we know that's just a piece of paper. And so you have to work for it. You got to want it. So same thing here. We're talking about that victorious Christian life. I get it. I can have it if I get crucified with Christ and I'm buried with Him and I'm raised up to walk in newness of life. I got it. I got it. But we got to want it. It's like this. You know, a lot of people, you know, you can be saved and still not have a victorious Christian life. I've seen lots of Christians that are miserable. All right? Probably the most miserable people in the world are backslidden Christians. All right? The person that's not saved, they don't even realize that they're backslidden. They might be miserable. But a person that's not right with God, they're just miserable. All right? So salvation is not enough to give you the victorious Christian life. Here's one. Surrender. Okay, I'll go to church 3 times a week. I'll do this. You know, I'll tell people I'm a Christian. Just by doing that, it's not going to give you the victorious Christian life. Turning over new leaves is not enough. You have recurrent defeats in your life. Oh, I'll turn over a new leaf. Recurrent defeat. Well, I'll just turn over another new leaf. Trying harder. Well, I'll just try harder. It's not going to be enough. Having new resolutions are not enough. Setting new goals, that's not enough. What you got to do, you got to hunger and thirst. And I gave an illustration not too long ago about a person talking to Socrates. I believe it was last Wednesday night. We talked about, what have you learned this year? And he held him up under the ground, and Socrates said, what did you want more than anything when I was holding you under the water? I wanted to breathe. He said, okay, when you want what you're looking for, wisdom or whatever you're looking for, as bad as you wanted that breath, then you'll find it on your own. You won't have to have it. So we have to hunger and thirst. We got to say, God, I want the victorious Christian life. I want to make you happy. I want to be crucified. I want to be buried. And I want to raise up to walk in the newness of life. So we see here there are ways. There has to be a way, and there is, but it lies outside of ourself. Okay? That's what I'm saying. We have to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but He that liveth in me. So again, we will never get to the point where we can have the victorious Christian life and be very, very happy by ourselves. It lies without. We got to lift up the name of Jesus and let Him draw them in. We've got to be crucified and let Him live through us. It's called an exchanged life. Take it, crucify it, and raise up to walk in newness of life. Galatians 2:20 was, nevertheless, I live, yet not I live, but Christ liveth in me. In other words, I died to myself. So number one, we had to want it, hunger and thirst. Number two, you got to let it. You got to let it. You got to want it. I want to be victorious in my Christian life. I want to be happy so bad that I'm going to die to self, let Christ live in me. So let Him. You got to let Him. So you got to want it. And you got to let it. This will be the only help that we can find to help us help ourselves, and then in turn help others. And that's what Paul was trying to say. Okay, you teach this to faithful men, and in turn that faithful man will teach it to others also, and so on and so on and so on. So if we're going to help people find the victorious Christian life, we've got to be crucified with Christ. We got to be buried with Christ. We got to raise up to walk in the newness of life. Let Him live through us. Then people will see that peculiar person and say, what do you got that I don't have? I want some of it. All right? But it's not turning over a new leaf. Well, this is what I did. And that's, again, that's what this world is full of. This is how I lost 700 pounds. This is how I became the smartest person in the world. This is how I became the richest person in the world. This is how I got along with my in-laws. Or this is how I got along with my brother. Or this, and I mean, just this is what I did. This is what I did. This is what I did. And everybody's trying it and trying it and trying it. It didn't work for me. What did you do different? It's not going to work. The only way we're going to have the true victorious Christian life and really be happy is to want it and to let it. And so when we hunger and thirst, and it says here, we accept the fact that we are crucified with Him. We're going to look for answers, not arguments. Key to the sermon right here, other than crucified, died, risen again. All right? Look for answers, not arguments. A lot of people, they'll try somebody's 10 steps to blah, 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 blah. And they'll do it, not so that they'll get what it says they're going to get, so they could argue with it. It didn't work. Nope, I told you. Those carbs along with those this, that, and other, it mixes in there and it causes, you know, you can't do it. And so they do their little 10-step how-tos just so they can prove them wrong, argue, and come up with something different. A lot of people do that with Christianity. That's why there's different kind of stuff out there, different opinions, different denominations, things like that. Why? Because people are studying this not to find answers, but so they can find arguments. And that's they go through life arguing, being defensive. Not happy, but yeah. And it's, again, I've heard people like that. Yeah, I think Brother Andy and I were talking about the guy that was praying that was in the storm and the floods were coming up. And he said, God, you got to save me. And he climbed up on top of his house and somebody came by in a canoe and said, hey, come. No, I'm praying and asking God to help me. And so it got a little higher. And somebody came by in a speedboat and said, hey, come on, jump in. I'll take you. He said, no, I'm praying that God saves me. And then, you know, he's like this. A helicopter comes down, throws a rope. No, I'm praying that God helps me. And he drowns and dies and goes to heaven. And he says, God, I was asking you. And God said, hey, I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. And I sent you a helicopter. I tried. All right? And so a lot of people, they'll go through life and they're just, you know, no, I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be this. I'm not going to be that. No, don't look and want it and do all that stuff to find arguments, but find answers. And it'll help you, and then therefore you can help other people. So it is much better to play, or it's much easier to play the blame game than just to die to self and to ask God to live through you. It's a lot easier to play the blame game, but it's going to lead to dissatisfaction again and again and again. Some people say, well, I'm too young to be spiritual. Some people say, well, I'm too old, set my ways to be spiritual. Some people say, well, I'm not educated enough to be spiritual. Some people say, well, I'm too educated. I've educated God out of the picture. I've just had not enough opportunity. Oh, man, there's too much opportunities coming at me every which way. I don't know which one to do. That's what I'm saying. They're just looking for an excuse and an argument, not the answer. And some people are like, I'm oppressed. And that's a for real thing. You have demon oppression and satanic oppression, things like that. And you know, some people are like, well, I'm just in the minority. I'm not in the people that believe. I'm unemployed. Or you know, people are just too prejudiced or bigot. You know, they get rid of bigots and things like that. Or you know, other popular catch-alls. Again, that's what a lot of people in this world, they won't go to church because people are bigots and people are Pharisees and they just look for excuses and arguments. I can't be saved because, you know, I've heard that there's people that have molested people, so I'm not going to be saved. Well, I'm not going to hell for any other sin. All right? Yeah, there's been some igmos out there that have done wicked things, but I'm not going to not get saved because of it. But that's what people do. They'll look for excuses and arguments and not the answer. So society, they say that. And this generation and that generation and mental health and addictions and the devil made me do it and the drugs made me do it and this other mean person made me do it. Stop! Don't look for excuses and arguments. Look for the truth. You got to want it. And then you got to let it. And so here's my 3 points. Some people, and obviously this is all down, taking all what I just gave in an introduction. My 3 points is this. There's a lot of people that say it's just a generational gap. You've all heard that phrase before. That's what people do when they're looking for arguments and excuses. They'll grab catchphrases to fix it. It's just a generational gap. All right? You know, I'm 56. I don't want to rush it. 56. All right? And but I can talk to Tucker. I can talk to Caleb. And you know what? I can tell them both. God loves you. It's not a generational gap. God loves old people. And God loves young boys. And I can go up to Isaiah and give him pounds and talk baseball. That's not a generational gap. Well, you old fuddy-duddy, you don't know it. Just shut up. Don't talk to me. But that's what they do. They're trying to separate. There's a generational gap. You're never going to reach them. And I mean, you look at teenagers today, you go to the mall and just watch people. Woo-hoo, woo. Yeah, there's a generational gap. But it's sin and righteousness. That's the only separation. Okay? Again, I get there's you know, vocabulary, vernacular that they might use, and we're like, what did you say? All right, I get it. So we can blame that on the generational gap, but God still loved them, and God still died for them, and God still wants them to have a victorious Christian life. So we can't just throw our hands up, generational gap, no sense trying. No, I still want to have a victorious Christian life and bridge that generational gap. It's sin is still sin, right is still right. Don't give me the excuses. Here's another one. I'm just having an identity crisis. They'll tag that on there. And you're like, phew. And again, there's a lot of truth to it. I mean, you see somebody walking through the mall with pink hair and it's, you know, pokey, you know, it's a mohawk and it's like sticking things on it, and they got, oh my goodness, look like they fell in a tackle box. And, you know, they got stuff pierced everywhere. You're like, whoa, I get it. Identity crisis. And they look at me, fuddy-duddy, suit and tie, haircut, you know, boring. Generational gap, identity crisis. I get it, yes, but we can't just say, all right, there's an identity crisis out there. No, I'm still going to go knock doors. There was 3 teenagers out here today. I went out there and invited them to the youth rally. All right, they probably did think I was weird. Oh, goodness. But hey, I'm not worrying about it. So there's a lot of people, they tag this identity crisis. I'm just doing my own thing. Okay, well, your own thing is going to lead to more sin, and it's going to lead to you not being blessed by God. You know, I got to be me. No, you don't. Paul could have said that, but no, what did he say? No, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm buried with Him, and I'm raised up to walk in newness of life, and I'm happy. All right, these people, I just got to be me. They're not going to find happiness. They're searching for their identity. Yeah. And here's something, you know, identity crisis. We can throw it in there. And, you know, my wife said I've had one of these before, midlife crisis. She calls those rims on my truck a midlife crisis. All right. I tried to get, you know, loud mufflers on it. She said, midlife crisis. All right. I get it. So, but we have that. You know, that's just socially unacceptable, or it's socially acceptable. That's how you're going to find happiness. Be socially acceptable. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be accepted by this generational gap or these identity crisis people. Socially accepted. They like, you know, it's just socially accepted to cheat on your taxes, right? Government's all messed up and wicked anyway. Well, that makes it right. Alcoholism, that's just socially accepted. We're all having rough lives. Let's just drink this and forget about our worries. Socially acceptable. Behavior patterns. I mean, we have adultery. That's just socially acceptable. They got, you know, swingers out there, wife swappers. That's just socially acceptable these days. We're looking for happiness. That's what I'm saying. They say it's just socially acceptable. Oh, we got to get kickbacks. That's just socially acceptable. That's just what you do these days in town. That's not going to bring happiness. 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, having a form of godliness, but the denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now these guys, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to this church. But if there's ungodliness, from such turn away. You call it secondhand Christianity. This tag is socially placed on us and God. It says here, the real change is not identifying with. And again, a lot of these, I guess, mentality and this thinking has moved into the church. In other words, well, let's just be socially accepted with the church. And that's what church has done. They've changed their music to be pleasing to the world. They've changed their times, and you know, they don't even have Sunday nights and things like that. What are they doing? They're trying to be socially acceptable. And so a lot of people are like, well, if I can just link up with that. But they never get saved. They never serve God. They're never crucified with Christ. They're never buried with Him, and they're never raised to walk in the newness of life. They're not going to find it. A lot of them, they got baptized and they got the t-shirt that said it. I'm happy now. But their life doesn't change. So we got to be crucified with Christ and buried, die to self. That's where true victory is going to come. And so we see here this Hebrews 13:8 says this, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That fixes the generational gap because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same. That takes care of the identity crisis. He's the same all the time. And then the last thing we see here, I guess we got two more. I'll give them to you real quickly. The silent majority. The silent majority. This is another phrase that stuck out there. Generational gap, identity crisis, silent majority. This is what we call undercover Christians. All right, I can't tell you that I'm a Christian. If I do, I have to kill you. I'm an undercover Christian. All right. In other words, they don't look like a Christian. They don't behave like a Christian. They don't talk like a Christian. And so you really can't tell them the difference between the world. That's the silent majority. Their emphasis is on the temporal, the materialistic, not a total surrendered life of crucifixion, of death, and raised to walk in newness of life. The silent majority, they don't ever brag on God. They don't ever give God the credit for anything. They don't witness. They're just the silent majority. And here's the last one. Therapy. Therapy. And again, I told you earlier, some therapy works, right? They're trained, they know what they're talking about, things like that. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. A lot of therapy says, you know, love yourself. Take care of yourself. Do something nice for yourself. Do that. In other words, they're just easing God right out of the way. Now, again, I'm all for rest. I'm all for vacations. I'm all for, you know, winding down, things like that. So I'm not saying that none of that works. But don't excuse God right out of the way and love pleasures more than you love God Himself. John 15:5 says here, for without me, you can do nothing. That's what John 15:5 says. For without me, you can do nothing. Turning over new leaves, going to this, going to that, making excuses, finding arguments. But without me, you can't do anything. Last one, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says this, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay, so anything you're going through, God says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. If you're crucified with me, and you're buried with me, and you're raised up to walk in the newness of life, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, that old phrase, when I am weak, then I am strong. So when we're saying, okay, God, I was crucified with you. I've died to self. I've buried my dreams. I've buried my thoughts. I've buried my opinions. It's all about you. I'm going to be raised up to walk in newness of life. I can't do this. I'm too weak. That's God says, you're getting it. You're understanding it. It's me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. So the victorious Christian living, the Christian life, yes, is to be saved. Yes, is to know it. Have that eternal security. That's going to give you happiness. Know that you're saved and know for sure. And then be crucified with Christ, die to self, and raise up to walk in the newness of life. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And Lord, I know obviously that goes against the grain of this world. That goes against the philosophy of a lot of things that we hear. Now, Lord, do your own thing. Be your own self. But the Bible says against that. It says die to self. Be crucified. Be buried. But then raise up to walk in the newness of life and let you live through us, Lord. And if we can wrap our brain, wrap our heart, wrap our way of life around that, we'll have that true victorious Christian life and be blessed of you. In Jesus' name, amen.